Alright, time for another draftphysics.com, debatephysics.com also, but, yeah, just no back and forth style debate, no point counterpointing, just a bunch of people making their points, and, I'm doing some counterpointing, but no one else is. But anyway, alright, so the old farts, or whatever, the old fart club. Nick of Time is doing the Chappelle thing. So apparently they couldn't do it on Saturdays and couldn't find somebody to moderate who was to everybody's liking. So now they're doing it here. But anyway, so they're talking about linear accelerators. So I did do some research of my own on that one earlier, months ago, years ago, I don't know, whenever. Trying to figure out exactly what it is they do detect and what they do see and all that kind of crap. Not their conclusions, but the actual processing. And you really can't get much of that. They show you, you see a picture of a thing called a linear accelerator, and none of it's explained. And then what's the difference between the circular ones? I say the biggest difference is how they accelerate, right? So the linear ones are not using voltage potential differences except to start the particles, and then they're using some sort of microwave wave thing, which a resonator that's off phase, so it creates a moving standing wave thing that's moving really, really slow. So it doesn't have anything to do with accelerating anything. Doesn't make any sense. Anyway, so they're having the conversation. It's really just about the argument about, is there something called a mass increase? And obviously, there's only two aspects. I think everybody would agree that, you have mass and you have velocity, and that's energy. You really can't make energy out of something else called energy. Called whatever. What would you call it? The other component that makes energy. So there's no other component. You only have these two components. And if you can't make something go faster, then, and it makes more energy, well, then what else are you going to blame except mass? Now, I would argue that what you blame is weight. That there's weight increase. There isn't mass increase, there's weight increase, and the weight increase is as simple as the weight increase you gain from gravity. Gravity gives your mass weight. Your mass doesn't weigh anything. It is weightless when you are not in gravity. Or we call it weightless when you're falling freely in gravity. But the point is that your mass, if it isn't moving because of some gravitational field giving it acceleration, won't weigh anything. If I put a scale next to it, it doesn't do anything. So it doesn't weigh anything. And it only weighs something when you start collecting force. So the rain analogy sort of works. There has to be a force. You have to get wet in it. All right, the river has to hit you with the water. And that gives you not only velocity, but weight when you hit something. You collect it. And so, yes, what they do in linear accelerators is make things heavier, not more massive. They make them weigh more by sticking more force on them, They don't go faster, they get heavier in the sense that they weigh more because they have collected more force. Alright, so yeah, this is a really, obviously this is highly technical, lots of machinery, lots of so lots of stuff to debate what exactly happens, but I'll try to diagram it fairly simply. Alright. So the point is they go through all this jibber-jabber, and they don't really say anything except, well, I don't see, I don't wish, and so there's nothing really, you can't draw any conclusions about what they're saying. Relativity's wrong because there's no weight gain, but there's no proof that there's no weight, well, there's no, I don't know, they don't say anything. So, I think, you know, this old video from the 60s says more, so we'll go to that. All right, so here's the old video. It's called The Ultimate Speed, an Exploration of High-Energy Electrons. So it doesn't say LINAC in it anywhere or any of this other stuff that it probably should say, which would make it more findable as a video, but anyway. So that's what it's titled here. produced by MIT, blah, blah, blah. It's a very small linear accelerator. I mean, it's only, whatever, 10 meters long. But you get the idea of it through this video. So I'll play the end of the video. Now, let me just say for reference, okay, they have this chart. You'll see the chart, blah, blah, blah. So I'll explain that when we get to it. But they start off with this horrible statement, you know, that 1/2 mv squared is Newtonian mechanics. And I'll say for the 4,000th time, it's just a slander against Newton. Okay, it's not Newtonian mechanics, it's clearly Leibnizian mechanics. And it has nothing to do with anything Galileo, Descartes, or Newton argued. And let's understand, Newton basically said, I don't really want to tell you where energy comes from. That's not my thing. My thing is telling you what things do. My thing isn't telling you how they do it. Okay? And in spite of that, they just keep trying to shove words in Newton's mouth. And it just makes science look bad, in my opinion. Okay, when you're forced to put words in somebody else's mouth to make an argument, it just makes you look like a cheater. And it looks like science is desperately cheating, okay, to make this argument. If they keep trying to fake what the hell this 1/2 mv squared is, as if it was like a fossil, and they opened the fossil and it said 1/2 mv squared. You know, it's not like that. There was never any evidence for it. It's never been logical. It's always been a terrible problem. It just messes up all of Newtonian mechanics. It doesn't improve Newtonian mechanics. It doesn't enhance it. It doesn't solidify it. It doesn't do any of that stuff. It just makes a mess out of it. It makes a mess to create some other thing than momentum, which is weight. Weight. Can I say this again? It's weight. It's pressure. Mass moving creates weight. It creates pressure. That's what the universe is running on. That's the fossil. That's the obvious truth. That's the one that bubbles right out of anything that bubbles. That's the thing. That's the thing that just is the conclusion that is as solid as conclusions come. And they've made such a frickin' mess out of it. All right, so let's just play this last bit. Oh, I don't know if this ain't... Well, let's try to do it without the context.
We attributed to them when we measured their speeds.
So he's turning everything down. Turning everything off. Blah, 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 blah. All right, here's the
magic. Obtained by experiment, then.
So this is the magical chart. So this line he's saying is what Newton predicts. Obviously, Newton doesn't predict you can go 4 times the speed of light. So this line here is the speed of light, right? So Newton obviously doesn't predict any of this. Newton doesn't make any claims about any of that crap. That's all just crap. All right, and clearly you didn't need Einstein to tell you you're never doing this. So lots of physicists already knew this ain't going to happen. All right, so even 300 years ago, they would have maybe made lucid arguments that no, you're not going to be able to make matter go this fast. Not going to happen. All right, anyway. All right, so this is the speed of light. So they start off with 500,000 volts, okay, and that's all they use, 500,000 volts, and they get a little dot right here, okay. I think there's a dot there. I'm not even sure. This might be there. This is it. This is the first dot right here. So they don't go lower, so we don't get to see any matches down here. So we're, you know, we're kind of stuck with these. So these are the tiny increases towards the speed of light. So you're going 98% of the speed of light here, or 99%, you know, so it's a, you're almost already there. So this doesn't even proportional, frankly. You're really going fast here. All right, so in spite of what numbers see, 2.6 to 3.0. Well, anyway. All right. And so, you know, I'm not going to argue how they measure the speed of light in this device or any of that stuff. But anyway, so this is what they're going to get as an actual line. All right, so they're going to increase the voltage. And as they increase the voltage going that way, the speed doesn't get any, you know, it barely gets any faster. And the point he's at now is he went from 4, what would be equivalent to 4 million volts. So they're going to use, they can only go 1.5 million volts by creating a potential difference, okay, a charge difference. And then they have to use their LINAC, you know, they have to use their microwave pusher machines. So they're using two different mechanisms to push whatever they're pushing. Okay, I'm going to argue they don't even know what they're pushing. But anyway, and they say they're electrons they're pushing. That's what they say. They're obviously not just electrons, or they wouldn't have all the shielding around everything to stop everybody from getting killed by the radiation. So there's obviously more going on than just electrons. Anyway, electrons can't get through lead or something. You can't shoot electrons through a, you know, an inch of steel. Electrons aren't going to get through it. Anyway, so many things that need to be said that just aren't said in these videos. So anyway, this is, they're going to get this Einstein thing, okay? So he's going to draw now Einstein's image on top of here. And clearly the obvious point is, what I'm trying to get to is he's going to get to a point where he's way over here. So the energy, as measured this way, is going to be increasing and increasing and increasing. And yet there's going to be a tiny increase in the velocity. So what other conclusion is there? If the velocity hasn't increased, but your energy has exponentially increased, then what are you going to blame? You're going to have to blame the mass. So this line, okay, that would have represented velocity increasing, and instead the line's going to go this way, which indicates mass increasing. So they're not measuring the mass increasing, but you have no choice but to say, well, the mass must be increasing because all you can make energy out of is mass and velocity. And what's really happening is the weight is increasing. The mass of the electron is not increasing. The amount of force pushing it has increased. All right, it doesn't go faster. It just has more things pushing it. So if there was 10 people pushing me, you can understand that I have a much durable force. I can make a bigger impact on something. I won't go any faster, right? So I had 10 people running 30 miles an hour behind me, or I have one person running 30 miles an hour behind me, and they're making me go 30 miles an hour. You can understand that when we hit a wall or we hit a surface, the 30 are going to mean I'm going to weigh more. Okay, I'm going to push into the surface further because I have all this extra pushers. I'm not going to hit the wall any faster. I'm just going to hit it with more weight. Because I have more energy behind me. I have more mass behind me pushing. And energy is mass. Force does contain mass. Photons have mass. This is where they just made such a mess out of physics. This massless momentum. There is no massless momentum. Oh, so much of this is just, such crap.
Result. As we increase the kinetic energy of the electrons from 0.5 MeV to 4.5 MeV, and we've measured this energy, the speed of the...
Okay, let's understand. Yeah, they measured something, right? They measured the temperature of the target at the side of the target, not the surface of the surface of the target's getting hit, a hunk of aluminum. They're measuring the temperature some distance from that surface. So who knows exactly what proportional relationship there is from the activity on the surface and how much of that heat actually gets through the aluminum. So that's another whole subject of how what they're really measuring.
The electrons appears to approach a limiting value. And as closely as we can measure, this limiting speed is the speed of light in vacuum.
Right, the speed of force. So this is another point where I just, you know, I just screamed that, oh, I think Newton would have loved the idea of the speed of force. Okay, if we were saying the speed of force, okay, then we would understand that, oh, so all the stuff pushing stuff can only go 30 miles an hour. Well, I think that means that nothing can go faster than 30 miles an hour, because it doesn't matter how many pushers you have, you're not going faster than 30 miles an hour. So, yeah, it's not some limiting speed like God says so. It's a limiting speed because the stuff that gives things weight, that is the stuff that pushes stuff, like matter, is going a certain speed, and you can't go faster than the stuff pushing you. For fuck's sake. Duh. Damn. I mean, that's a reasonable alternative theory to this mush. Shit. Like somehow somebody says, yes, you can go faster than the stuff pushing you. There's no hills. There's no place where you can go faster than the things pushing you.
3 × 10⁸ meters per second. Now, we have by no means exhausted our energy resources here. In fact, we often use this linear accelerator in experiments with nuclear reactions, which, if they're going to occur at all, require electron beams with energies of 15 million volts. So we can readily push our experiment one step further.
I thought I was a little further along, so yes, we're going to have to
As you recall, in our last speed measurement, where we used only this first section, the burst of electrons moved freely from this point on down the pipe with an energy of 4.5 million electron volts.
Okay, so just understand. So this, every hunk, every meter or so of this accelerator. So there's electrons running through a evacuated tube in the middle. And all this crap on the outside is basically, see these things over here in the back? This is all a big giant klystrom, they call it. This is basically a microwave thing. And so I try to explain that. And so it's going to create a non-standing wave. That is a moving wave from, you know, nonsense. Obviously, what it is a bunch of photons, okay? So they're going to hit the electrons with a bunch of photons, is the idea. The things they're calling electrons, anyway. So they're raining on it. They're throwing water on it, okay? They're making it wet with force. They're making the electrons heavier. They're giving them more pushers, which means they'll be able to push deeper into the aluminum when they hit it. They'll be able to create more action because they have more energy behind them pushing them.
Now we can turn on all these other sections of the LINAC. Then, as each electron goes from section to section, it will be pushed on again and again by the electric fields generated by these power sources.
So he says the electric fields, and by electric fields he means the microwave energy they're going to shoot into the evacuated chamber. so it's just, you know, all this kind of horseshit rhetoric they use. So they're not using a voltage potential. They're not creating, so like I said, one of the round ones, they just keep using a differential in the voltage, you know, a million volts. And so every time the thing goes around, it gets another million volt jump, another million volt jump, another million, you know. So they're just using voltage to increase the speed of whatever it is they're increasing the speed of.
As the electrons come out of the last section of the LINAC, each will have an energy of about 15 million electron volts. This is more than 3 times the energy of our previous measurement. So
you have to ask the question, why don't they use voltage all the way down? Why don't they just do the circular thing and just do it multiple times? And but you won't get an answer to that question.
If there is any accompanying increase of the average speed over this flight path, we should see it.
So the point is, it's going to go from, so you saw there was some curvature to the line when you went from 500,000 to 4 million. And now you're going to go from 4 million to 15, and you're not going to see any increase, which is, come on. I'm supposed to take that seriously as an accurate reading? I don't think that's too accurate. Sure, it makes a lot of noises that we don't get to hear. Flippy switch. Ooh, that took a long time. The high voltage switch. Ooh, it's linacking. It's linacking. Oh, we couldn't see any of the needles going. I'm linacking. All right, we are at full linac potential.
Each electron now has an energy of 15 MeV. What do you expect?
Yes, and I'm getting pretty much a free X-ray. Yeah. It's fun. So let's understand. At the target, they have a 2-foot wall, cement wall. So obviously, there's going to be stuff in this experiment that ain't just electrons flying around.
Let's see.
All right, so the point would be is that this looks just exactly like it looked at 4.5. So at 4.5 or 4.9, whatever the hell it was, it looked exactly like this. So it looks exactly, the time difference is exactly the same. So there's just no increase.
The separation between the signals is about the same as in our 4.5 MeV run. 2.9 divisions. So the speed has not increased.
The weird thing is these, I don't like these things going up and down doing this kind of stuff, but you're just like saying, well, what's causing that? You know, how come you're receiving less charge? Because this is measuring when a charge gets to, you know, the negative electron, the charge passes a location. That's what's triggering the oscilloscope. And you gotta wonder about that.
You can see that our curve has indeed leveled off. Since the last energy we used would be...
I know, but it should be leveling off at the speed of light. I mean, it should be leveling off closer to this line. But whatever, let's not argue little minute details.
Way out here. Clearly, the prediction of Newtonian mechanics does not...
So again, you saw him point to this crap and say it's Newtonian mechanics, right? And he did it like 5 times or 6 times in this video. It's not Newtonian mechanics. Newton didn't agree with it. He actively protested. He actively said, horse shit, that's not how it works. So it's not Newton's formula. It's not Newton's idea. It's not Newton's suggestion. It's not Newton's anything. It's, you're not allowed to call it Newtonian because it's not his fault. He didn't make this stupid mistake.
Explain this result. Early in this century, before high-speed data of this nature were available, it became evident that some improvement was needed in the theory because of other problems.
Okay, so this is the funny part. He's arguing against the theory, like somehow the theory's wrong, when no, all you're saying is I'm just going to increase the mass. So he's just basically saying, because the line isn't doing this, because the velocity isn't doing the increasing in the energy, we'll just say the mass is getting heavier. Oh, okay, we'll just call it an increase in mass. And that's what Einstein basically did. He said, well, the line curves, so therefore, if I'm going to have more energy because of this stupid equation, the stupid equation is telling them there's more energy. Not momentum. Momentum doesn't have a problem, right? Momentum isn't squaring the velocity. So momentum doesn't make this preposterous amount of energy.
Problems such as the relation...
Well, there is an increase in the energy, okay? It's just not the preposterous increase that they're creating. But obviously, again, if there's more people pushing me, I am heavier than my apparent weight. You know, in the sense that my weight now will be more durable. It will last longer. I will weigh 30 pounds for more time.
Ship of Newtonian mechanics to electromagnetic phenomena. Einstein, and others looked into the question of a better relation. According to the new mechanics they developed, the relativistic mechanics.
So this is, like I say, he says, he doesn't say the words, this is mass increase, but obviously you're stuck. What else could it be? It must be mass increase, because obviously I can't increase the velocity and I way increase the energy. So if the energy's big increase in the energy, I got to account for it somewhere. So I'll just
say, the relation between V squared and kinetic energy for electrons is this.
So I understand this would be exactly the same curve you would see if I used this pushing argument. So if I took a mass, 10 pounds, well, let's just say 100 for, you know, make it more connected to reality. And one person pushes the 100 pounds and only goes 5 miles an hour. And then two people get it to 7 miles an hour. And three people get it to whatever, 9 miles. You know, it's going to be the same kind of curve, because I can only go as fast as the people can run. And let's say their maximum speed is 10 miles an hour. You get the point, the force, you can add more and more force, but you will get a tinier and tinier and tinier increase in speed, because your force can't go any faster. The stuff pushing can't go any faster. You have more stuff pushing, so the line gets flatter and flatter, because even though you're adding more and more energy, more pushers, they really can't increase the speed any, because it's such a tiny difference. It would work out exactly the same. I'm just saying this, a competing theory that the force is doing the pushing, that the force is actually pushing stuff, the matter. The matter never has weight until something pushes it. Okay, so without the push, it has no weight. It is getting heavier and heavier in terms of its weight. It hasn't gained any mass. It's gained force pushing it. There's more photons behind it, pushing.
At very low speeds, this new curve and the Newtonian curve overlap as they should.
So he didn't do any of those, right? So the first mark we have is here at 500,000 volts.
At high speeds, this new curve also agrees very well with the facts we found.
It doesn't agree very well. So again, he's drawing a line that agrees with his pattern, but it's not exactly... If you look at it, you can sort of see that this is a little lower than it should be. It's not, what's the guy's name? Blah, blah, blah. The L name, whatever his name is.
There is a speed limit for any object. And this limit is the speed of light.
All right, so again, this stupid limit thing, like somehow Einstein predicted a limit, somehow blah, 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 blah. The limit always existed in that all the forces don't go faster than the speed of light. So they're all moving the speed of light. So they should be called the speed of force. It's the speed of all the stuff pushing in the universe. There's no pushers going faster than C. So therefore, nothing can go faster than C, because there's no pushers going faster than C. I mean, it really is that simple. Alright, so I think that's the end. Alright, so off to the drawing board, and we'll just go through it mechanically a little bit. I'll just point out a couple of things and blah, 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 blah. So, we can get rid of that. Get the pen and leave us begin. Alright, so this thing starts with the typical way they produce an electron, which is a coil. They heat. So they heat a coil, right? And then they create with a, one of those, damn, I just hate that I just, this aging thing, you lose so many words. One of the things with a belt, it's usually a ball at the top and has a stalk on it. Vandegraaff. So they have a Vandegraaff to create the voltage difference. So they're just going to create a voltage difference between here, so there'll be a negative and a positive. And the assumption is that any negative particle, okay, will be attracted to the positive. So you're loosening them here. The heated coil is just for loosening stuff, right? So you can sort of understand that heat loosens the atoms, it loosens, you know, vibrates them until everything gets, you know, where, yeah, it's easy to, you know, you could just knock one off. You could flick it with your finger and knock it off because the heat has loosened it from the material. So you have a bunch of ions, you know, you really do. You have atoms, okay, atomic ions. You have all these kinds of parts in here. And my argument, I would argue to you, okay, that electrons and protons, let's just draw them that way, can't fly through space freely. They are slowed down by the drag of the universe. They just can't. You can't throw them to the moon. You can't throw them anywhere. And they won't even get through an evacuated tube, okay? They need help, all right? And the help is in the form of the neutron. So if I put a neutron here, okay, in the sense that I add the neutron to the electron, right? I'll add it in this form, okay? Electron, neutron, electron. And this is the neutron. So I have the proton and the electron. And on this one, I'll do exactly the opposite, right? I add the neutron this way, electron here, and the other proton here. So you can understand that these are two mechanisms that maybe can travel. You can push these things because the force, the charge forces are creating the potential of having something actually not being disturbed by this the force you're running into. The force you're running into can't get to this electron because this one has taken care of it. And so it's almost a drag argument on a racetrack. You know, this one's flying for free, so to speak. And you can understand it's the exact opposite. So this would be, I would argue that this is the thing they deal with most of the time in terms of helium nuclei or different things flying through space, but this is also a possible arrangement. And it's different than a whole atomic ion, you know, where you just have an extra electron or two. But anyway, the point would be is that the ions, okay, that have anything that has a negative potential, okay, a total potential, obviously this would be negative, right? It has more negatives than positives. This would be positive, so it's not going anywhere. But anything that has this negative potential, that is an ion of the atom or an electron or this configuration, is going to fly across that potential. But the point is that what's allowing it to fly across the potential is the actual target having this positive character. And so that means the field in here, okay, has a decided differential in the force, the negative force, the force that pushes electrons. And once you get past that field, you don't have that anymore, okay? You don't have anything pushing anymore. There's no stream. There's no river of energy. And it's really just going to be now water and friction. So now your boat had a motor here. It's got no motor here. So unless it's in this form, it's not going anywhere, frankly. Okay, a free electron isn't going anywhere. So I would argue that this is the thing they're sending. And the trick is that this thing can collect pushers. So you can keep adding pushers. Little bits of force can keep being added to this mechanism. So it has a density, a thickness of energy it can collect. So you could just argue it's like photons being stuck to it. This can collect a bunch of photons, okay, all going the speed of force, all right, and it can be quite durable in its capacity to plow through the universe. All right, so it's like the cosmic ray idea. The cosmic particle, okay, goes flying through space as a nucleus, as a compounded object of different pieces. And when it hits the, when it hits the magnetosphere, it starts getting ripped to pieces. You know, the positive and negatives, the magnetic bits start turning, and it breaks it into pieces. And the pieces are what comes down to Earth as, you know, ultraviolet light and other kinds of radiation, X-rays and whatnot. that, you know, eventually kill us and all that crap. Oh, shit, that's a little bit off, isn't it? Well, my bad. I think, well, it's just, I think that was a mistake. Yeah, that you didn't see most of what I drew. But anyway, it doesn't really matter. This wasn't the important part, I don't think. Anyway, all right, so this is how it starts. So you have a voltage potential, and then it does this microwave thing. So that's the thing that's a little bit weird. So what it's really doing is if you resonate, if you put energy into a fixed size container, all right, and it has a frequency, the idea is if you put it in phase, the frequency will just keep bouncing back and forth, and you'll get what's called like a standing wave, you know, peak to peak. It'll just be a standing wave. But if you make this the size a little bit off, then you'll get this idea that it bounces back to here, and then the next time it bounces back to here, and the next time it bounces back to here, and the next time it, so its peak value, that is the value that's the strongest, it the ones that are multiplying, you know, where it's going all in the same direction, keeps moving in a sense. Okay, there's a that you have a peak here. The next time you have a peak here, you have a peak here, so you can sort of understand that it's like a wave will be like it's moving in a direction. Now there's no wave moving, you're just changing where the resonant peak is, okay, where as you keep running this uneven thing, it's an uneven wheel, and it will go through cycles, you know, where the peak is here, or the peak is here, or the peak is here, where the peak of its off oscillation will keep changing its location and go around the circle, so to speak, and that's like a moving wave. So you're creating a moving wave by having a imperfect resonator, if I don't know what to call it, an off-size resonator, and that's what they're sending behind the this stuff you initiated. So they're hitting it, they're just exposing it to this standing wave of energy. Now, I would argue that it doesn't really matter, that you could just hit it with the microwaves and you're going to get the same result, because it's really, you're just collecting the energy from the microwaves. You're just pushing this stuff, you're just collecting more energy. And so it just keeps pushing it and pushing it and pushing it, because you keep hitting it with photons, and the photons end up collecting and collecting behind the material bits, and because there's no counter force stronger than, you're not hitting more force isn't coming at you than you're collecting. So yes, you increase your speed a little bit, but what you're really increasing is the number of mass units, that is the momentum units of force. You're collecting more elements of a photon. And that really does have momentum. So in a sense, you're collecting heat, or however you want to understand it thermodynamically. You're collecting the stuff moving the speed of light. And as you collect more and more of it, you're getting heavier and heavier. The mass component is what you're collecting. You're not gaining much velocity, but you're gaining mass, because you're gaining a bunch of elements of force moving the speed of light. All right, I think that's probably good enough. I mean, and again, the target is a disc of aluminum, all right? And they're measuring the temperature here, right? And the action's here. And what's really happening is this, right? So when this crap that they've sent through, right? So you've sent a bunch of crap. I mean, there's a bunch of stuff in this signal, okay? There's coming off of this, you've already got a bunch of different kinds of radiation that are flying out of into this accelerator. Like I said, it's ions, all kinds of different things are in there, and you're smashing them against this aluminum. And when you do that, okay, with all of these bits of energy behind it, when it hits, it starts creating all kinds of different kinds of radiation. So you end up converting all of this energy you've got pushing this stuff into X-rays and ultraviolet and all kinds of different kinds of gamma rays. So you're creating all kinds of radiation, and that's why you need the 2-foot fucking wall. Is because, yeah, you'll get radiated. without it. So yes, the energy is photons. The photons are smashing into a brick wall, and they're basically recombining with each other and creating higher energy. So it's basically you could send infrared photons in and you're going to get ultraviolet photons out. It's that kind of simple thing. Or you send ultraviolet ones in and you get x-rays out. Or you send x-rays in, you get gamma rays out. So you're just increasing the you're just recombining the energy into all kinds of numerous bits of radiation. So that's enough to say. So they're just really measuring how much energy there is by just taking a raw temperature reading. It's not a very sophisticated way of measuring how much energy is hitting the target. So just understand, it's not like they're measuring the mass of the electrons or doing any of that crap. They're just measuring temperature. All right. So I think that's enough said. So the whole thing is just, you can remodel the elements, and it would be fair to do so because, again, just understand they're starting, their whole premise is a lie, okay, that they are arguing with Newtonian or Galilean or Descartesian mechanics when they're really not, okay. And, if those mechanics are just understood, again, I think Descartes, Galileo, and Newton would be happy if they lived now to say, yes, it's the speed of force. That would be a rational thing to call it. It's not the speed of light. It's the speed of magnetism. It's the speed of gravity. It's the speed of electricity. It's the speed of all the little bits flying very fast. All right, not just photons. All right, so anyway, I think that's enough. probably. I think so. That's where we'll leave it anyway. All right. So this has been the draftphysics.com, debatephysics.com also, but no rational interlocutors or whatever the right word for it would be.